sermon text this morning from today's gospel reading. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as we've already mentioned, today is the observance of the Festival of the Reformation. And today we recall a time that most of us would be unable to wrap our heads around, a time when the truth of God's good news in Jesus Christ was clouded and obscured by a teaching of works righteousness. It was a time of a horrible commingling of God's law and God's gospel. Now remember what the gospel does. The gospel shows our Savior. The law shows our sin. You should recall the law of God summed up in the Ten Commandments has three uses. And what are those three uses? Curb, mirror, and rule or guide. Curb, mirror, rule. What does the curb do? The curb stops violent outbursts of sin. To the person who might feel like murdering someone, the law steps in with its threats and its threats, thou shalt not do murder, or maybe as some of you had learned, thou shalt not kill. The law and its threats of punishment stop the violent outburst of sin. They tell us what we are to do and not to do. The law is a mirror. What does it do? It shows us our own sin, and it shows us our need for a Savior. And the third use of the law gives the Christian the guide, or the guide to live by, a rule of behavior, so to speak, to use in interpersonal actions. All these three uses are what we would call good, right, and salutary. As St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 3, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. But it's the second use of the law that we want to focus on right now. The second use, the use of God's law as a mirror that leads poor, miserable sinners to repentance and to seek God's grace in the gospel and the right use of the sacraments. The law points out the sinner's completely lost condition, forcing us to confess that our righteousness must not come from inside of us or from something that we ourselves do, but our righteousness comes from the outside of us. Namely, our righteousness comes from God Himself through Jesus Christ, as it is written in Galatians 3. The law has been our guardian so that we would come to Christ and be justified by faith. Now, the law has no power to save us. Salvation comes only through Jesus Christ alone. To mingle law and gospel together is to make the good news of Jesus' vicarious suffering and death on the cross not good news. That's what that would do. To mix those two together, law and gospel, would be making the good news undone. It would be making it not good news. It would leave a Christian, you, horribly uncertain as to whether or not you are really completely saved or not, as opposed to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ that tells us to hold out your sack, so to speak, and receive as a gift the free salvation won by Jesus Christ on the cross, the free gift of salvation given to you. The gospel, the good news of the free gift of salvation, is the legacy that the Reformation has left to us. And the gospel is delivered to us in the word of Christ. Christians are to adhere to the words of Jesus Christ, the words he left to us. And in his word, we find Jesus, the God-man, who is revealed to us in the revelation of Jesus Christ. What do we find? We find our true liberty, as he himself said. In Christ there is deliverance from sin, and only those are truly free who have received the free gift of salvation through the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And only in Christ, motivated by faith in Christ and through the gifts that he has given us, Are we able to do good works that are pleasing in the sight of God in heaven? Now, some who hear Jesus' words resent this. They have pride in their hearts that gets in the way. In fact, the pride of the human heart has driven many persons away from Christ and from His church to which he has professed allegiance. Why? Because he has been put off by the plain talk of the depravity of the human heart. I mean, that's not something we want to hear. That's not something we love to hear and relish and cherish, that we are all poor, miserable sinners, that there's nothing we can do to save ourselves, that we are dependent wholly and solely and only on God for our salvation. Like, we don't want to hear that. We want to be able to do things on our own. We want to be able to earn Christ, earn salvation. Do it. You know how it goes. We don't like to feel helpless. We don't like to feel weak. How many of you have said, look, I don't want to be a burden on my kids. I don't want to be a burden to anybody else. I don't need to be helped. I can do it all on my own. And we carry that sometimes into our spiritual lives. We carry that over into our spiritual lives and mistakenly sometimes say, but I don't want to be a burden to God. I can do this all on my own. And God is saying, no, no, you cannot do it on your own. I am the one who works salvation for you. I am the one who has sent my Son to win salvation for you upon the cross, to gain for you everlasting life and righteousness. Right? So what does Jesus say? Jesus says of the one who would be his disciple, right? The disciple, the one who is rooted firmly and only in Jesus' word, right? What does he say? He says, as St. Paul writes to the Corinthians, stand firm, my fellow Christians, and let nothing move you. Always keep on doing great work for the Lord, since you know that in the Lord your hard work isn't wasted. So what is the work of the Lord? What is it that the Christian is supposed to do? It is to remain steadfast in Jesus' teaching and doctrine. Acts chapter 2 states, they were loyal to what the apostles taught in fellowship and the breaking of the bread. And in Hebrews chapter 3, we share in Christ if only we keep our first confidence unshakable to the end. And in 1 John chapter 2, we are admonished, now children, live in Christ. To remain in Christ and His Word is to be a disciple and is to know Jesus Himself. And to know Jesus is to know the truth and the freedom that the truth brings to you. As Jesus prayed to the Father, I have given them your word. Your word is truth. Sanctify them in the truth. Truth is that which resides with God, regardless if people know it. Doesn't matter if people understand it or give their assent to it. It's true, regardless of what a person thinks. Jesus is pointing to himself, he who is in his person, the embodiment of all the saving realities of God. Jesus is the liberator of the soul. He is the restorer of God's fallen creation. Sin would have enslaved us. It would have held us in bondage and chains, seeking to bind us under its power, which is full of spiritual lies, spiritual falsehoods, and spiritual deceptions. Jesus came that we would be free from such tyranny and bondage, and that we would be given the liberty of the children of God. Where did this reconciliation take effect? It took effect in the blood and person and work of Jesus Christ, the only true Son of the living God. We are reconciled to God not by our merits, not by our works, not by our doings, but by Christ's blood, by His cross, where He made the payment and earned reconciliation for all who trust in Him. In the Messiah's work, God the Father shows that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace that comes through Jesus Christ. In this way, God shows both His grace and His justice. His justice in that the debt of sin had to be paid, and His grace in that the work of Jesus is credited to the individual who trusts in Jesus' work on their behalf. Jesus did all the work. You get His work credited to you as a free gift. There it is, right there in the nutshell. You couldn't save yourself. God sent His Son to save you. His Son willingly laid down His life upon the cross, gave it up, shed His blood, so that your sins would be paid for and you would have life everlasting. The good news of Jesus is that He, the Son of the only true and living God, has secured your salvation. Your salvation is given to you as a free gift of God. Why? Purely because He loves you. Free, unmerited grace of God given to you out of love. Love for a creation that was fallen, but love nonetheless. And I'm going to ask you to do something today. I'm going to ask you this. Don't doubt the gift. There's so many powers out there, spiritual powers that are working on you to doubt that you are saved, to doubt that God loves you, to doubt that God cares for you. But it's not true. You have been redeemed. You have been bought back and won through the blood of Jesus Christ. Your sins are forgiven. And the only true and living God cares deeply for you and for your salvation. Don't doubt the gift. Don't turn away from the gift. Don't seek to earn your way to eternal life. It's yours. It's free. It's a gift to you. Simply lay hold of the gift. Cling to Christ and His Word, thanking, praising, serving, and obey Him. And in that Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.